Kids Sing Praise. Yeah, and they're singing about a famous parable of Jesus. And that parable, of course, none other than Matthew 25, the only one of the Gospels that has it. And this is really about Jesus' parable of the 10 bridesmaids, or actually it's the virgins, which be brides, waiting for the bridegroom to come and get them. 10 of them are wise, and they take extra oil with them. 10 of them are foolish, and they don't take any extra oil with them. And what happens as we read here in Matthew 25 is the bridegroom was delayed. And they all laid down and fell asleep. But at midnight, the shout went out, "The groom is here! Get up! Wake up!" And they get up and they start to trim their lamps. But the lamps were going out because the little dish where the wick comes out of had been full at the start, and now it had run down low, and it was just going out. And the ones that had extra oil topped it up, kept on burning. "Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning till the break of day." But the other five had no oil. Here's what it says in Matthew 25. "Please," they said, the foolish ones, "give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." But the five wise virgins said, we don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourself." So they thought, there's going to be time. We'll whip off. But while they were gone, the groom came, and they took those that were ready with them, went into the marriage feast, and the door was locked. And when the others returned, they banged at the door and said, "Lord, let us in." He says, "Go away. I don't know you." He says, "I don't see you. I don't know you." That's what that word means there. And what's striking is Jesus warns us, stay awake, be prepared. Now, falling asleep here wasn't the issue. It was be aware of your condition. You're going to run out of oil, so get some extra oil. Because obviously they fell asleep, and that was okay, because they woke up when the bridegroom came. The issue wasn't the sleeping. The issue was the oil. "You don't know the day or the hour I'm coming." He is going to return. The bridegroom is Jesus. We're told again and again in the scriptures. And the bride is the church, the body of Christ. But some of you are foolish and some of you are wise. Some of you are foolish. You're not keeping your life full. And if I could use the illustration here, the oil is the life of God. The lamp and the wick is us. And when the oil is in the lamp, the wick is saturated and burns with a beautiful clear light. That's, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven." The light of God shines out of us when we're full of oil of the Holy Spirit. That's why we anoint people with oil when we pray with them. Symbolic. But Jesus is warning that there are believers, there are his people who should be with him at the marriage feast at the end of the age, but will get complacent, not worry about it, not have any foresight, let their lamp run dry. And then they know it, when he shows up, what they're supposed to do. We're supposed to have a full lamp, and they don't have time to do it. And the door is locked, and it's too late. You know, I've actually seen marriage customs in India that are Bible marriage customs. It's interesting. India is probably one of the last remaining ancient cultures on earth where some of these very practices are carried out. And I was there a number of years ago, and I was actually there for a wedding one time. And they have the marriage feast, and I remember my host, Suresh, saying to me, when we stood outside this big tent where the feast was going to be, and we were in the dark because they do it at night, and the people are inside, and he says, this is the illustration. This is, we're doing what you read in the Bible about the people who are invited to the marriage feast, and the steward who's at the door checks to see whether they're clothed properly. And in this case, being in a poor community, they weren't able to give everybody marriage garments, wedding garments, but in a more wealthy setting, everybody got wedding garments. And what Suresh said, here we are outside, and he says, the outer darkness. He says, those that don't have the wedding garment are cast out into the outer darkness. And we're standing out there. Well, the light of the marriage feast was going on in the tent. You could see the illustration completely. But one of the most interesting parts of it was, we were staying at a hotel in Tenali, and suddenly, early in the morning, about 6 a.m., there was a big noise going on outside. Not just outside of the hotel, near us, near our windows. We were up on the third floor, I think. And went and looked out the windows. And it was a band playing and shouting and carrying on and a big party out in the street. And what it was they were doing this wedding custom where the groom was coming to pick up the bride and the bridal party from the hotel at a unannounced time. Now, of course, they knew it was going to be that day because they came from another town and everything else. But the plan here is the symbolism, which goes throughout the whole earth in the ancient cultures, is that the bride will be picked up, and she doesn't know when, at a time that the groom, and actually it's the groom's father, directs. The groom's father says, go get her. And he takes him and his friends, and in the case of India, they arrived up on the sidewalk out in front of the hotel, and they had a band, they had speakers, and it was loud. It woke everybody in the hotel up who wasn't up at 6 a.m., and they were shouting and praising and saying, come out, meet the bridegroom. And then she would have come out, and you know, we saw all the hustle and bustle going on in the hotel. They were just getting up, getting ready, and they headed on out. And then they'd have the wedding, and they'd have the marriage feast. And the door would be shut to others that were coming, or trying to come, later. It's exactly what the parable says, what Jesus told. Now, the issue Jesus says in this parable is for you and me to pay attention to. It's not that they fell asleep. It was that the foolish virgins had not brought extra oil. They weren't prepared. They had no foresight. They weren't anticipating him being delayed. They became careless. And they lost out at the end. They assumed the graciousness of the groom would let them in. They assumed even if they ran out, they could go get some more. They assumed it wasn't as important as Jesus made it out to be, or as the customs made it out to be. The oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit who's come into you and me, believers. The wick is symbolic of our life that conducts the flow of the Holy Spirit, and the fire burns in our life. And what Jesus is saying is, that's what matters when he returns. Are you one who has oil in your lamp that will keep on burning, burning till the break of day, so to speak? Wow. Well, now I want to direct this towards you believers out there who are complacent. You know you're complacent if you are. You know you're passionate for Jesus, or you know you're complacent. I know a number of people, and that lots of, I mean, I know tons of people, but lots of people, lots of Christians that are saying, well, I'm a believer. I accepted Jesus Christ. Everything's just fine. But they're complacent. I mean, there isn't a place at their meal, at the dinner table for a prayer and a Thanksgiving. Family prayers. Things in their life are not committed to Jesus Christ. The regular expectation that the life of God would flow in everyday life is not there. They don't seek it. They don't apply it. They just have Bible knowledge in their head, go to church on Sunday, and assume they belong to God, but are living absolutely normal lives. Does a person like that, did they really come to Jesus? Yes, you did. You do really come to Jesus. But do you keep your lamp full? That fullness that was there at the start, is it still there? I'm talking to you. I'm talking about what Jesus said in warning to you. So here's a couple of thoughts. They let it run down, didn't care. They became careless about the holy things in their life, not worrying so much about it. And gradually, while they're sleeping and not worrying, they run out. Spiritual life dries up. And guess what? They didn't notice it was coming. And if anybody like me right now, preaching this word to you on the radio, pointed it out, they thought, no problem, I belong to Jesus. No problem, the bridegroom, he loves me, he's called me to marry him. No problem. But it is a problem, because when they ran out and didn't have time to accompany the bridegroom into the wedding tent, he says, go away, I don't know you. And the word there means he didn't perceive them or gaze on them or see them or behold them. He's looking and saying, when I look at your life, I don't see my bride. I was thinking about back when I got married to Karen. You know, as a groom, all I could think about is her. As a bride, all she could think about was me. And I knew whenever I would see her in the year ahead of us getting married, her whole heart was on me, you know, and my heart was on her. I perceived her. I gazed upon her. I loved her. I beheld her. I saw my bride, my betrothed. I longed for the wedding to come. And what Jesus is saying to some of you listening to me is, you might be betrothed, but I don't see my bride. You're not even keeping your lamp full. You haven't added extra oil. So he tells us, watch, therefore, be vigilant. You don't know when I'm coming to get you. This message is for many of you out there today. Is your loved one cold? Are you careless about the things of God? Or are you praying and ensuring he's in everything that you are and that you do? Is he part of it? Do you seek him? Do you pray? Do you praise? Do you ask him? Or you just go along making all your decisions without him? I frankly can't understand how a Christian can live without Jesus in everything. I want him in everything. I love him in everything. There's not a part of my life that I don't want to know what he would have me do and don't want to have his presence felt and known. But I know there's a whole lot of you listening that aren't like that. That aren't like a bride waiting for a bridegroom. If this gets to your heart today, if this is touching you, you need to stop what you're doing right now and just say, Lord, I hear this. I'm sorry. Please forgive me and help me. I'm going to begin pursuing filling my oil, my lamp, and my having oil once again. I want the oil of God. I want the power of the Holy Spirit back in my life. I want oil and that light from the lamp illuminating every part of my life again. Lord, I'm asking you to help me right now, and I'm going to pursue it. So you can turn from one of the foolish virgins to one of the wise. Yes, you can. That's why Jesus told the parable, to tell us, to tell you. Be ready for when he comes.